festival on Memorial Day weekend, you can head over to mjqirishcenter.com. That's center spelled.
Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Perfect.
Everything is real.
Radio.
Everything is real.
Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything. It's real. Radio.
The Everything is Real radio program broadcasts here on WGXC 90.7 FM every second Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Tamara Zahakovich of Lebanon, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition, a nonprofit dedicated to community-based power. HCHC is celebrating 5 years of impact in housing justice, education, and criminal justice reform, with a kickoff on Saturday, May 31st at the Hub at 47 North 5th Street in Hudson. The event features an outdoor makers market from 1 to 4 p.m. and a backyard house party kickback from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. with live DJs and food. Information at HudsonCatskillHousing.org.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Housing programs that serve rural folks face deep cuts or elimination in a draft 2026 federal budget. The Daily Yonder's Joe Belden says the GOP plan ends USDA housing vouchers and Section 502 home loans, which are generally repaid and have helped low-income folks buy homes for three-quarters of a century.
Over the years, that program has helped over 2 million families become homeowners. This budget proposes totally.
HUD rental assistance would be halved, and aid to folks building or rehabbing homes terminated. Rural development would be moved and probably reduced. Belden says rental assistance and help for people with disabilities was cut 8 years ago, but not like this.
This budget is of another order in the eliminations and zeroing out of programs.
The White House says reducing discretionary spending is needed to cut the deficit. The budget's increases to defense dwarf the savings in housing, and it also would extend tax cuts that mostly go to the wealthy. Independent medical practices are getting rarer in rural America. A new analysis by the Physicians Advocacy Institute says over 5 years, the number of independent rural physicians fell by more than 40%. The Midwest and Northeast saw the most, with 10 states losing more than half. In all, the Institute's Kelly Kenny says the rural U.S. lost 1 in 10 doctor's offices.
We know that rural areas lost 2,500 physicians outright. We know that 3,300 medical practices closed.
The more than 7,000 practices either closed or were acquired by big entities. Then, Kenny says, market forces can leave rural communities underserved.
They tend to consolidate with other like practices, and then they will cut where things aren't profitable.
For centuries, community irrigation ditches have brought water out of the mountains to the high desert of Taos County, New Mexico. Alana Newman visited.
Carlos Arguello is a commissioner for his Taos County acequia, which has irrigated fields since the late 17th century. As an elected manager, Arguello is charged with keeping the ditch flowing for everyone.
The governance of the acequias is the longest historical practice of democracy in the U.S.
Every spring, the neighbors gather to clean out the ditches together before the water starts to flow. Arguello says maintaining and using the acequias has been a northern New Mexico way of life for generations.
It's part of the what we call around here querencia, the love of land, the love of heritage, the love of place.
I'm Ilana Newman.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
Exploring Science in the Sea. A rare species of sponge found in the Red Sea and Indian Ocean has a rare distinction. It has levels of a metal that are thousands of times higher than ever seen in any other organism. And most of that metal is stored away by a type of bacteria that lives inside the sponge. Sponges are filter feeders. They draw in water, filter out food and other solid bits, then shoot the water and solid particles back into the sea. Some contaminants can lodge inside them. Some studies have found high levels of arsenic, barium, and other toxic substances. A more recent study looked at the species called Theonella conica. It's found down the eastern coast of Africa. Up to 40% of its body weight consists of bacteria and other microscopic organisms, many of which have a symbiotic relationship with the sponge. Over two decades, researchers collected specimens from Zanzibar off the southeastern African coast and the Gulf of Aqaba at the northern tip of the Red Sea. When they analyzed the sponges, the scientists found extremely high levels of molybdenum. The metal is important for the metabolism of people and other animals, but only at low levels. At high levels, it's toxic. So the metal may help protect the sponges from predators. The element was concentrated in one of the species of bacteria inside the sponge. It changes the material into a harmless mineral, which is flushed back into the water, keeping the sponge safe from both predators and the toxic element. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute and is on the web at scienceinthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
It's time now for your good news for a good planet. Autonomous Alzheimer's. Traditional nursing homes often restrict the autonomy of their Alzheimer's patients to keep them safe. In contrast, a unique village in France is offering a special environment that is enriching the lives of its memory-challenged residents by giving them more autonomy. The village Landes Alzheimer is a gated community in the best way. It is designed to reduce confusion and promote comfort. Residents can come and go from their homes, engage in everyday activities, and make personal choices. Living areas are filled with natural light and secondhand furniture, creating a warm and familiar atmosphere. Residents have access to many public spaces, like a media library, a farm, and a convenience store. Trained staff in home care, occupational therapy, and gerontology are there to support them, along with volunteers who organize social activities to create a sense of community and companionship. But what also sets this village apart is its focus on non-drug interventions. Caregiver classes for family members, as well as art, music, and animal therapies, are just some of the innovative approaches used to enhance the well-being of the residents. In the face of this debilitating disease, researchers say that places like the Village Landes Alzheimer can offer a better quality of life to the dementia patients and their families. And this is Mandy from GoodNewsGoodPlanet.com.
You are listening to WGXC's 90.7 FM, the Thursday afternoon show. I'm your host, Sila G. Tom DiPietro, I can't even say his name anymore. That's how long it's been since I've seen him. No, I'm just joking. Tom is away on sabbatical because he is running for office. He's a public servant, a good one at that, I can recommend. And so it's just me and my lonesome. But I'm not alone today. Today I have a guest. And today we're going to be talking about a special movie that I've been ranting and raving about. That you guys all know about. So this is 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. And my guest And the song in the background you hear is Will Ye Go, Lassie Go by Lola Kirk, Peter Dreams, and Brian Dunphy. And it is about sinners. And my guest today is Carlos. Hi, Carlos.
Hey.
So, Carlos, when did you see Sinners?
Oh, gosh. It was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I don't remember. It feels like yesterday.
Okay. Fair enough. And we talked at length over the past couple of weeks, since you and I both have seen it, about the different angles of the movie. You have a particularly interesting angle. I would like for you to go into your own diatribe of what you got from it.
Well, I don't have notes or anything about it, but...
You don't?
No, I don't, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But it's all of the main characters in throughout the movie, particularly those that survived or had a main focus when they became a vampire, all related to the seven sins in some sort of way. Annie, I believe, is the seven virtues.
Wow. Rightly so, root woman that she is.
While you have, I believe, Smoke was his pride.
And Smoke is one of the twins.
Yes.
Who is played by Michael B. Jordan.
Then you have Stack, who I believe is greed.
We debated about this.
Yes, both of them could have flip-flopped.
Flip-flopped, right. Which twins, hello, yeah.
What's her face? Haley Steinfeld's character.
Yeah, it's Mary.
Yes, yeah. Mary. She definitely depicts one. It's hard to say if she's lust or if
she is lust because, and we argued about this too. Because
no, she's not lust. I'm sorry, she's envy, and lust is.
That's right. That's right. I saw lust because she was married and she was told to go home. And if she had gone to hell home, some people say this movie would have never happened.
Well, but you could also say the same thing about the girl that was interested in Sammy.
Well, but remember, she turned after fighting inside of the club.
Yes, but she was lust because she cheated on her husband.
They both did.
Actively.
Yeah, they both did.
But in Haley's case, she wanted to be a part of the culture. Yeah. That's why she was the only white person there.
Well, not white, but passing.
Fair point.
All right.
Then you have Sloth.
Who was Sloth again?
That was Cornbread.
Cornbread! Yes. And if you haven't watched this movie, we are not giving away any spoilers, so calm down. Go ahead.
And then, what am I on? I'm on 5.
Yeah.
So, Wrath is the Asian lady. I forgot her name.
You know we're going to pull them up. We got to pull them up because it does a disservice when you actually can't name the people you're actually, you geeked out on and everything like that.
I mean, I'm relying on you for the names, so. And then, I guess, while Sila is looking up this last one.
Yeah.
The last sin is gluttony, and that is Delta Slim.
Delta Slim, who they had to convince to come to the club because they gave him some Irish hooch.
Yes, and the only reason why Cornbread was there was because they had to convince his wife to send him off.
Yes.
So they can get that money.
Which, because they were in the cotton fields, y'all. I don't know if you know, but this movie takes place at a time where cotton fields were still actively a prime business in the South.
Yes, in the 1930s. So, no slavery, but...
Yeah.
Massive ties to it.
I know the indentured servitude is still happening.
Yes.
So we have Grace Chow is the character you say is Wrath.
Grace. Yes. And the reasoning behind that is you believe that Wrath. Wrath is a fiery emotion.
Which she
took wholeheartedly when she burnt herself alive.
Well, we can't give no spoilers.
shoot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah. Oh, let me turn this on.
However, it's very interesting to see how all of these characters relate in some sort of aspect to a particular sin.
Yeah.
While they do portray others.
Yeah.
And just the main character, Sammy, throughout that whole film... was dealing with them and how he was trying...
You think he displayed all of the sins?
I don't think he was displaying all of them, but he was learning how to adjust and overcome them throughout all the whole film. As they didn't particularly he didn't particularly display any of
right,
them.
Right, it's true.
But
he didn't.
That
well, he might have displayed one.
Possibly.
Pride. Because he knew he had a talent. And his father warned him, in the beginning, if you play and sing and play for the devil, he will come.
However, I think that was because of more influence from outside characters rather than
his cousins.
Because, not a spoiler, but the second end credit scene when he was playing in his church.
Yes.
That symbolizes that he was given a God, he was had God-given talent, and his music wasn't based off of
the devil.
Anything like that, like how the other characters were influenced. But it was more so something from his heart, even though that he didn't. And he displayed that he had some disagreements about how it was brought up with the songs that he did sing.
Yes.
But ultimately, at the post-credit scenes, again, the songs that he plays, it shows that his transition and his acceptance of it.
So this is like a... Because, I mean, I've geeked out and watched a lot of Sinner's, antics, breakdowns, you know, like, dissections, and nobody's brought up this particular section. And it was just interesting to me because I have also found a lot of movies that I can link to the Seven Deadly Sins, never Seven Virtues, which Annie definitely portrays. It was just such a good movie. Do you agree it was a good movie?
I think it was very well done. I don't think we've had this discussion about
yes,
they could create an entire universe of it.
I think they already did.
However, they all have to be separate stories.
I think that, I mean, Marvel, MCU, Marvel has a universe, but then it also has separate stories that gives each of its own characters their time.
And they all intertwine with each other,
yeah.
But that's just because of the foundation that was laid by decades of work. When you're looking at Sinners, it's more so something like, in other Michael B. Jordan films, like the Creed movies, there is influence as it's going through Adonis Creed's life, but each tells a different story. The first one, he's trying to make a name for himself, and then he finally accepts that he's his father's son.
So he stays in the shadow of his father, yep.
Yes, the second one is... He fights his father's son's killer.
Yep.
And then in the third one, he faces his childhood.
Yep.
Like as...
But in this case with Sinners, the reason why I believe it could be a universe, and it is a universe, because the main story focuses on a place where they all know and are from.
Yes.
With the exception of your favorite.
My favorite? Oh, Haymick.
Right. Haymick and his crew are... Well, Haymick alone is the only one that's not from...
The United States.
And is not from Mississippi, where it's being shot, right?
Yes.
Right. Where everybody else is from that town. I mean, when I talked about it on my show, when I first talked about it, I talked about community. And I felt like Sinners had a big thing on community. Mm-hmm. Like the Asian family, the Chows, they're from that area. Cornbread is from that area. Annie's from that area. Mm-hmm.
Delta
Slim is from the area. Mary... The passing, you know, woman is from the area. Even, what's the other person's name? The Sam's in love interest. She is also from...
Pearline.
She is also from the area. So you're talking about a universe that is built out of Mississippi, that is built on community. Even though they all have different roles and things going on in their lives, that place is the universe.
Yes. Well, the universe is that entirety. I think that that's like one story. If they wanted to create a separate story, like maybe something off the 1990s, yeah, main characters would be Mary and Stack.
Yep. And Sam, because he was alive then.
Hey, well, if they decided to focus on whatnot, I don't think you could have Buddy Guy as old as he is.
No, but you could have a younger version of him.
Well, not in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you could go back to Smoke and Stack.
But that would be the only relation that would have between the two stories. You wouldn't have, like how Marvel, you can relate Captain America to Iron Man and Thor because they all culminate into the Avengers at some point.
Yeah, but not before.
But they all have influence. When you're watching the Captain America movies, Tony Stark's father's in it.
Yes.
All of the, at the end... he gets brought into the world that Tony Stark is in.
What? There is, but you can tie it all into the sinners. You just don't see, I see it.
I just don't think how you can tie all these characters, especially when they're all dead afterwards, into each other.
You can tie it. You can do, what's that thing called? Preludes.
Well, you can have an extension and continuation of the story.
Yeah.
But I think to avoid, it's going to be hard to avoid just copying and pasting by having that story continue. You would want to create a new story based off of how they introduced that they're monsters.
But they all died.
Maybe you go off of a different one. Maybe you bring in the indigenous peoples that were there.
Oh, that would be great.
At the beginning. That would be its own separate story because that's before Haymick coming over.
Right.
You could talk about Haymick being here. Yes, they're all intertwined with the characters. However, they're going to be completely different stories.
They're going to be completely different stories, but there is tie-in. The Asian, Smoke, Stack, Annie.
Sorry.
That was fast.
I know. I was just getting food.
He ordered the Bellas off his phone, y'all, and he wrote down in the thing, the instructions to bring it to the picnic table, and here it come.
Hi.
Yes.
Los is right here for his big sandwich. What did you get?
Just a turkey Sammy.
Just a turkey Sammy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Damn, that was fast. And while we on lunch, y'all, that was fast.
I was so happy.
By the way, if you're listening to WGXC's Thursday Afternoon Show, I'm your host, Sila G. And this is...
Carlos.
What did he miss?
He has a drink.
Okay. He's coming back with his drink. Carlos almost cried, y'all. He's like, wait, where's my drink? Lord have mercy.
I need my sugar.
He need his sugar, no problem.
Thank you.
Here you go. Yeah, so, and we are live from my workplace. I'm outside.
We will not disclose that information.
No, we won't disclose the location, but we're outside. So, yeah, we're back to Sinners, which still is in theaters. I'm still saying people should go see it. It is not gory. It is not like horror. It is really...
It's a thriller.
It's a thriller, and it's suspense, and it's good because it's a period piece, which I think they nailed exceptionally well.
I think the thing that brings the movie home to me is the fact that when you portray... When most movies in Hollywood or Bollywood, wherever you watch movies from, they portray a sort of Americanized or, I guess, would it be Indianized for... Bollywood,
yep.
Tale, like addition of the story, but when you're watching Sinners, you feel everybody's story within it. It's very authentic. You feel the aspects of Chicago. You feel the aspects of a post the
slavery
South.
Mm-hmm.
You feel
the KKK, even though there was a small little bit of that.
You could minutes.
It was, but still, you feel the presence of them because mm-hmm. you know, like these guys are on guard. They know what's up.
And I don't think I've ever seen a traditional Irish dance until this, and they dedicated an entire scene to traditional Irish culture.
Well, I could tell you that what I geeked out the most on was Annie, the Root Woman. I've never seen a Root Woman be of dark skin, be voluptuous, be that beautiful, and hold herself in that capacity. And she was Creole, too. So she even spoke her language in the movie. And it was just, for me, it was a small clip, but you saw her in her element, in her store, with all of her things. You saw her, like, giving people stuff actively. You saw people recognizing her talent. She didn't have to hide it. Mm-hmm. She didn't, like, she was known for that. And it saved. You know what I mean?
I mean, for me... It's just Haymick.
Of course. For me, it's Annie.
Like,
and look, and I'll show you my my new screensaver that I'm going to have put on my Instagram.
That's awesome.
People, what you're seeing.
It is a picture of Smoke and Annie
in a silhouette by the dead baby. Because they're by that garden place.
Yes.
That, yeah. And she's got her stuff on the table. Like, all her little... Her things. You see what I'm saying? Like, they just know. and she's got her belt on, and I don't know if you know, but her belt, like, she's got a switch in her hand, like, what is that, like a shaving switch?
It's a switchblade, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever they call it.
She's got her little bag with all her little stuff in on her waist. Like, her waist is carrying all her little secrets.
She was in... I think they all did a phenomenal job. It was absolutely...
Absolutely. Amazing. If you ask me if Annie could have her own movie, absolutely.
I mean...
Absolutely.
I would love to see a Delta Slim movie just because...
A Delta Slim movie would be amazing. I mean, I don't know how sober he'd be the whole part.
Oh, that would be perfectly fine.
I mean, that part where he goes, wait a minute, y'all smell that? I think I shat myself. That was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. And even Annie, you know what? It would be Annie for me, and then after that, it would be the Chows. I would like to see the Chows completely fleshed out. Two stores serving white people on one side and black people on the other side. The women running back and forth. Like, all of that. What was the husband's name again? Bo? It's with Bo, right?
Yes.
Bo not being completely masculine, but also being masculine.
Wait, wasn't Bo? Why does it say Chayton? Did they call him Bo in the...
I think they called him Bo, but he had a different name?
Yeah.
What? Again, you know, get on it, y'all. Get into it.
But it was... I couldn't tell you... Besides... I think the person that did the best job in this film...
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Michael B. Jordan.
Well, he had to play two roles.
Because... They shot scenes in reverse. They shot things forward. Yes. They had the body double in.
Yes. No, it wasn't a body double. It was him, right? The whole thing.
Well, to, like, represent, like, if he was Stack, then Smoke
they
talking
just,
to him.
They talked about it. It was him doing both scenes.
Well, yeah, it was him doing both scenes, but when they needed to have both characters on scene.
I thought they just filmed one and then the other and kind of...
Well, they filmed one with the other, but then they still had, like, somebody for him to look at and...
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, they were able to piece... Like, in the opening scene when they introduced each other, it was two separate shots. They cut the line on the farm mill, whatever it is, and on one side they shot Stack and the other side they shot Smoke. But during, like, when they were talking and have that interaction, they still had somebody there so he could interact with. And so it, like, it makes it look real. But it felt like he was two...
Different people.
Yeah.
Like his mannerisms was different. Like, you could tell that Smoke was the older, was the more authoritative twin. And you could tell that Stack was the one that was a little bit more wild, a little bit more...
Yeah.
It was younger, was more precarious.
Mm-hmm. Like...
And then even their hats. You know who was working for the Irish and who's working for the Italians based on their hats.
And then, like, just the complete transition for Cornbread, how he technically played two different characters.
How do you see that?
Alive and dead.
Mm.
Like,
I thought you were gonna say with his wife next to his wife and at the juice joint.
No, like at the beginning, how he's so. Well, I'm not doing everything. Da, 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 da,
oh, and like, how he flipped. Like, and how he I just flipped. Want brotherly
like,
love.
Yeah, it's like, we gotta be kind.
Mm-hmm. You know what I wonder? Is it because Haymick turned everyone that they all were infected with his idea of what he was trying to do? Because they all had the same mantra.
Well, they said that he was a hive mind.
Okay.
But.
Okay. So like, there was a hive mind at play. That makes sense.
But there obviously was more influence for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, they... Like, because... like. The whole thing about free will.
Yeah.
They were going to be free and equal because they were dead.
Right.
But that also means that they had the option to think for themselves.
But they chose not to.
But they chose to follow Haymick.
Yeah.
So when you...
Except for the two we shall not name. So, we don't want no spoilers.
But once you see how their own effect by free will, it's like, yeah, they're not technically free because now they have to live by the constraints of being a vampire.
Which we've always seen through other vampire movies. Like, for instance, Twilight...
They could do whatever they want.
They could do whatever they want. But they also was like, when you agree to be a part of a group, which the Twilight family was a group, they all had the same commitment. They would not bite humans. They would live off of animal blood. And so their eye colors changed and they would like hive together.
Yeah, it's like, but like the idea of free will and everything, it was there. It was put in its own unique way, a very religious way, which you couldn't, if nobody talked about this specific viewpoint,
it would be overlooked.
Mm.
It would just be a movie about people trying to survive a night.
Right. And you know, it was crazy that because it was just one night. It really was. 2 hours was just one night. I'm going to let him dig into his sandwich. I'm going to thank him for his time because we only have a little bit of time left, y'all. But I'm going to keep going because you know me. I love a good story. Look at you. You got the pork belly in there.
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
You got the turkey. He's eating from DiBella's, which is DiBella's, apostrophe S.
I would also recommend, if you're looking for a good movie,
mm.
if you're looking for a good story, if you were just to throw away the aspect of superheroes, the new movie Thunderbolts, it has a huge underlying story about dealing with your own shit in life. Oh, am I allowed to say bad words?
Not really.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Dealing with your problems in life and, like, how to overcome them. Again, I apologize for cussing.
He's all right. You're all right.
I definitely think that you should, like, that is a very good movie to just for the story in itself.
Yeah. And, you know, for Ramek, who's played by Jack O'Connell, which I'm happy to see, but he's an English actor with an Irish name. I'm not sure if he's actually from Ireland.
He takes pride in his Irish side.
Okay, that's good to hear. He is from a few other different movies. He does play in Lady Chatterley's Lover. He does play in Sinners, as you know. He plays in Trial by Fire. So there's a few things that he comes in. He's a pretty good actor, I would say. Sam Catton, or Caton, however you choose to name him, the young fella is pretty new to movies.
It's his first movie.
I'm trying to find more about him. I know his voice is real. Can I just say that his voice is amazing? I've said that before. But I'm excited to see what else he's going to get into. Now, Cornbread and I go back because Omar Benson Miller has been in a lot of movies. And, you know, he's a Libra. You know, that goes without saying. He's a big fella. He came in Ballers for a while with The Rock. He was in 8 Mile. He was in Get Rich or Die Trying. He was in Napoli, New York. I mean, CSI. I could go on and on, but the fella's got some stuff on him. Let's go to another favorite here, which is Lee Jun, who played Grace. Grace has come in a few stuff too. She's from Shanghai. She played in Babylon. She played in The Exorcist. And she played in Minority Report, which is, you know, that's a big one. So they're not all green. They're not all people that have come from, you know, the ether. They're all pretty much in their own right, doing their thing. Now, my boy Delroy Lindo, who, as you know, got the flavor, he is an English and American actor. He's got countless awards. He is a Scorpio. Gotta say that. He's coming up in the new movie in 2025 called Blade, which they're kind of bringing Blade back, which is exciting to hear. I'm not sure if Delroy Lindo is also Jamaican. That would be an interesting one to find out. He seems in Jamaican, but he could also be from Nigeria, which is also just another way to say Jamaican. Yes, I said that. But let me go back to Delroy Lindo real quick. Let's figure out his little pedigree here, or his big pedigree. He's been in countless movies. I mean, you know Delroy Lindo. I shouldn't even have to explain Delroy Lindo to anybody. He is 72 years old. God bless him. And he does not look like he is cracking anytime soon. In movies, you've seen him in Romeo Must Die. You've seen him in The Harder They Fall, which I love. Did you see The Harder They Fall? All right, you got to watch that. Definitely got to get on that. He's been in Get Shorty, Malcolm X, The Clockers. So, you know, he's got a big...
I don't remember him in Malcolm X.
Really? Oh, yeah. Gone in 60 Seconds, which is a favorite of mine. Blood In, Blood Out. The One with Jet Li. Cider House Rules. I mean, your man got... He's got pedigree here, y'all. He is definitely doing his thing. Let me find another one that we could talk about really quick that was in the movie. Let's talk about Buddy Guy. So Buddy Guy, who is 88 years old, born on July 30th, the same day as my son Cruz. So he's a Leo, big Leo energy. Buddy Guy is an American blues guitarist and singer from Chicago blues influence. His voice too and his playing is phenomenal. You can Wikipedia him. He's born in 1936. So he's got some history on him, y'all. He's got a discography. And, you know, he's worth looking into. He was around when Muddy Waters was around. If anything, that's already a plus. He was around when Otis Rush was around, you know. So go do your research. And I'll do one more.
The one, the only, Michael B. Jordan.
No, I think he's already popular enough. I'm going to go with Nathan Arkand, who I guess is the indigenous person that's in the Sinners movie. Mm-hmm. He's also a Scorpio. He's a Canadian actor. And he's been in Heartland, FBI's Most Wanted, Grey Owl. He's played in The Birds Who Fear Death. So a lot of, I wouldn't call them B-movies, but a lot of movies which are not of American, you know, background, which are just as good. Ooh, he played in The Pathfinder? Ooh, that was in 2007. So he's got a pedigree as well, yeah? All right, so I'm going to take a break. It's been 30 minutes of listening to WGXC's Thursday Afternoon Show. I'm your host, Sila G, and I want to thank Carlos for coming on and talking about Sinners. Carlos, we usually do a little Q&A for all of our guests to kind of find out some things. If I would guess that you were into sports, are you into baseball?
Man, oh man, how did you know?
Okay, so like, are you a Yankee fan? Okay, Mets?
Nope.
Okay, so who is it that you're a fan of in baseball? What team? Who are you rocking with?
I have to go with my boys in the 305, the Miami Marlins.
He probably is the only person you guys will ever hear come on this show. He's probably the only Marlins fan in America. I'm just joking. You're with the underdogs for real, the real underdogs. How did you get that love of the Marlins?
Well, it all started when I was born. My parents are diehard Yankees fans, and there is this guy of mixed descent playing shortstop for the New York Yankees.
What was his name?
I don't know. Just some sort of Hall of Famer, one of the greatest shortstops of all time.
The greatest, huh?
I don't know if you know the name, but Derek Jeter? Yeah, that guy. So he played all the way up that from like, oh Jesus, before I was born.
Yeah.
All the way, I believe his last year was either 2013, 2014. And loved him. Always wanted to be a shortstop, but I was that pudgy kid that couldn't catch a ball, so I stuck out in right field. But loved him a lot. When I heard he was buying the Marlins, just hopped on that train, became a Marlins fan. And then he sold.
How fast into his ownership did he sell?
I think it was like 3, 4, 5 years, something like that.
Yeah. But you stay with the Marlins. You didn't quit, huh? You didn't quit on them.
Nope.
Like Jeter did.
Listen, they're bad, but everybody loves a good underdog story.
There you go.
So when they win the World Series in 5 years,
you'll be the one guy that says, I believed in them all along.
Yep.
There you go.
Pretty much.
And that is Carlos. I'll be back after this music. So hopefully you like that first 30 minutes or so of guest speaking content about Sinners, the movie. As I wind down, I just want to make everyone aware that life is hard, but guess what? There is hope. What hope are we talking about? What hope am I talking about? Real good friends, a great meal, a walk at sunset or sunrising, beach time, pool time, jacuzzi time, hills and valleys, hikes, foraging, just listening to your favorite album in the dark, playing your favorite video game with a bunch of people online that you've never met, but y'all all vibe. There's hope. Those things are real, just as well as geeking out on books, on Book Talk and the like, visiting those little small libraries that people have put up all over the place. I actually had a really good podcast that I listened to about a guy who decided to make it a Guinness Book record to put to see how many of those little libraries he could put up. And from what I told, from what I heard and understood in the podcast, he didn't just stop in America, even though that's where he started. He went across the world. So these little book libraries are everywhere. The pressure is on sometimes because there's life pressure, which is real, like deadlines and appointments and showing up or not showing up, saying yes when you really mean no, saying no when you wish you could say yes. All of these things are real things. All of these things are happening to everyone, not all at once, but at some point. Realizing that you'll never feel the way you did a few minutes ago, hours ago, that something's been stolen or maybe something's been given to you. And now you're at the point where you're like changed forever. These are all things that are also true and also happening. These are also part of the hope. Even the ones that don't feel so good. But guess what? It's temporary. I promise you. Even the most awful thing you can imagine is temporary. It's temporary in the way that the rain is raining and then it stops. It is as temporary as when it's dark, as dark as dark night, you know, and then before you know it, the sun's coming up. It's as temporary as being a kid and then looking in the mirror and now you're an adult. Or being next to your mother or your father and then all of a sudden they're no longer there. All of these things are real. All of these things are happening and they're all meant to give us hope. Even when they're dressed in ugly packages, someone told me, which I thought was a great analogy of things. Because you ask for things, you hope for things, you wish for things, you dream for things, you pray for things. And then something else happens and you're like, it's not what I asked for. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I needed. You don't really know. Not always. You know, there are people in this world that are so damaged that they keep running into the same situations and they're wondering how come these situations are finding them. And the thing that needs to be changed is self. You can't keep going into situations being the same you were in the previous. You have to make a change. You have to give something to get something. It's an alchemy thing, right? And so sometimes it is not about sacrificing yourself or pleasing other people, you know, changing yourself to please other people. It's sometimes about figuring out what is and what isn't worth having, fighting for, keeping, holding on to, all of the above, right? Those are the things that I think a lot of people fail to realize. Sometimes you definitely have to let go. Sometimes you definitely have to move on. Sometimes you have to let that thing do what it's got to do. Or that person, you know, because you need to figure out who you are in those moments, who that person is in those moments, who you're meant to be in those moments, who they're meant to be in those moments. Like sometimes you deal with somebody, you deal with a situation and you're just like, you look at it and you're like, wow, I didn't even see that coming, you know? Or you're like, damn, I didn't even know that person was like that or could be that way. You have to give people time to get to know, and you also have to give yourself time to get to know. We're not the same as we were when we were 10, 15, 20, 30, 40. You know, things are going to come up. Things are going to change. We are going to change. We are going to die daily, as my mom says. And as we do that, we have to make sure that we are at the helm of that change, that we are being as selfish as possible sometime in that change. Sometimes that's what it takes. It doesn't take you being a martyr always to get like a pure outcome. Sometimes you just have to pick you. You have to pick yourself. And picking yourself, it doesn't always mean letting responsibility fall, letting people be hurt, disappointing others. But sometimes it does. Sadly, but true. You know, you can't always get both. You can't serve two masters, right? You can't be in this one way, knowing that if you're this way, you can't be with that person or be in that situation, but then you still want to be this way. Sometimes you can't have both. I was waiting to get a coffee at Stewie's. You know, Stewie's are everywhere. And there was a woman that was on the phone. And I was eardropping because it was just one of those situations. I didn't even realize I was listening until I went to answer. You know how you do? I went to say something and I was like, I had to be quiet. But she was talking about a family member who's on drugs. And I guess she was telling the other family member, like, I'm ready to just let them fall. And yeah, we all have to do it together. We can't, one of us can't be holding up while the rest have let go, because that's not fair. That's also not the reality we're trying to push. We're trying to make that person realize this is what it's going to take for change. And, you know, in that moment, I wanted to say a few things, but I didn't say anything because she had already said it all, you know? And it's true. Sometimes you have to, like, fall. It's not fun. Sometimes you have to watch people fall. That's definitely not fun, especially people you care about, you love, you know? But within all of that, again, there's silver linings, there's hope, you know? There's going to be room for a lot of different things. But you have to keep perspective. You have to keep optimism. You can't always just kind of, you know, linger on the bad. You have to kind of recognize what is presently in front of you, which is very hard to do. I'm not saying this from a place of complete ignorance. I'm saying it from a place that has come through that very thing. And on the other side, there's you still, you know, with or without, going or coming, you know, and you have to make sure that you're holding on to you, because you are the thing you can't let go. You are the thing that you can't compromise. You are the thing that you have to be the most selfish with. Even if people are complaining, if it's going to give you mental clarity, it's going to give you the opportunity to heal, to transform, to get to the next level, sometimes it requires you to do that thing. And again, I'm not speaking from a place of not knowing, and I'm not speaking from a place of not having gone through and appreciated the journey, even though in the moment it was burning and it was on fire and it was terrible, you know? And it was just like, why? But, you know, again, within everything you pray for and within everything that is coming for you and coming to you and coming at you, there's reasonings, there's things to be looked at. And sometimes we get so fixated on the one thing that we don't see all the other things at play, right? Like I had a friend of mine who had to let go of her home. And she was so fixated on the fact that she didn't have anybody from her family to support her and help her keep the home, you know? And I had to say to her, how can they help you keep what they themselves have never earned? They don't know the value. They don't know the sacrifice. So it's easy to say, well, look, it's this thing, you know, it's a house. Yes, but it's not their house, number one. Number two, their housing issue has never been that serious. They've been comfortable sitting with, underneath, and next to people who've done what you're doing, who've gone out and got it. So they can't comprehend what it means to have, hold, or lose, right? They don't have it in them to. And you can't be mad at them for that, because it's just their reality. It's just what's happening. And it took her a while, because even after that conversation, we had more conversations. And then one day she's like, you're right, I gotta let it go. And I was like, guess what? You letting it go does not mean it won't happen again. Don't mean you won't be an owner again. You know, won't mean you, doesn't mean you won't have a nice home outside of this one. And the minute she let it go and she was like moving on and we caught up again and I was like, how's things going? She's like, you know, that moment when you realize the thing that you were holding on to was weighing you down, was drowning you, and you no longer are drowning. Even though you loved it, even though you took pride in it, she took pride in her home. But she had to let it go. Now I have another friend of mine, a colleague more than a friend. He too has a home that's way above his pay grade. Through circumstance, you know, people get us upside down in mortgages all the time. But he's also got family, children, and more family that have come in who now need that same, the shelter from that home. But they don't have anything to bring in to kind of keep the home. And what I said is, before you lose it, because it had to be said, try to sell it. And I know that part gonna be real painful. Probably more painful than losing it. Because losing it means that you've tried everything and they just took it. But when you sell it, you're willfully saying here, right? And that's a hard thing for people to do, to just give something up. Versus having fought and then having it taken. It's different feelings. So I said, give it up. Sell it. But in the process of selling it, here's what you do. You find a temporary home once you get an offer. Someplace manageable, someplace decent, you know, and when you get out from that, use it, whatever you have, whether it's experience, credit, some money from the sale, you know, a pot that you can add to it, someone else, some other family members, and get something that's more manageable, get something that's more realistic, you know, because we get caught up with like zip codes and styles of home and neighborhoods and, you know, who next door and who lived down the block and who gonna see and if we on Main Street and yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, you know, things are falling apart. And then some people are like, well, why would God give me this thing if now I gotta lose it? Well, did it serve its purpose? Because if it served its purpose, then you know why you got it. You know why you had it. Were you able to do X, Y, and Z with it? Is that what your intention? If that was your intention, then you did what you had to do. Baby, you had it for as long as you had to have it. You know? And I know in this world we all think we can hold on to things or people or places or a culture, a certain type of culture, or certain ways of being. And eventually you realize that even those people that you think are holding on have let go. Now, they might be creating a front, a mirage in front of you to make you think they haven't let go. But if you look a little deeper, if you care, if you got time, and I don't know who got that kind of time, but if you look a little deeper, you'll see that they actually have let go as well. And they have jumped onto another plane of existence. Now, that plane of existence may be a mirage of the one that they just left. Hey, you know, it is what it is. But it's still a reality. We all have to grow. We all have to move on. We all have to try somehow to exist and coexist. I don't know. I think being grateful for family, being grateful for life, for struggles even. Because, you know, even a struggle, you have somebody would pay for your struggle. Somebody would pay to be in your shoes with your struggle. Yeah. Wow, right? But it's real. And then there are those people who never had a struggle because they don't attempt, they don't try, they don't even peek out. And you may say, I want to be that person. They ain't got to try. They just get it. They just got it. Man, you don't know what they got to do to keep it. That's all I'm going to say. You don't know what they got to do to keep it. I was on TikTok earlier and this girl was like, y'all, I went on TikTok at 3 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. I had 2 naps that day because of the rain and I was up. I get it. No judgment. And she was like, she was on TikTok and she didn't realize what the ladies and fellas were talking about. in that little wee hour. And you know, most of the time people tell you only thing that's open at 3 a.m. is legs in jail. But hey, I'm not judging. So she said a guy came on and he had a stack of money sitting in front of him. And he was looking all a little somber and stuff. And he was like, you know, I just made a whole bag right now. And I made this bag, but I'm home alone. You know, and did I go out and do what I had to do to get the money? Absolutely. Did I hurt nobody? No, ma'am. Did I give a lot of pleasure? Yes. We already know what he's talking about now, right? And he's like, but at the end of the day, do I feel clean? Do I feel like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm saying to myself, he's saying all that, but he's still doing what he's doing. That's his conscience. But he's still doing what he's doing. And, you know, some people say maybe he don't got a choice. I don't live in a world like that. I live in a world full of opportunity and choice. And I part of that reason why is because I make sure to never close off any kind of thought patterns that might come into my head or that might come into my heart or might come into my spirit. I don't even take the people that are around me that are annoying me. I look at every situation, every possibility. Because you don't know where it's coming from. You don't even know what it's for. If it's going to be something that's for you or not for you. But until you start to look at it a little bit to see if it's something that you could get into. You just close off everything because it all looks uncomfortable and difficult. You ain't going to grow. Growth is uncomfortable. You've been listening to Thursday Afternoon Show. WJXC's 90.7 FM. Catskill, Acre, Hudson. I am your host, Sheila G. My co-host, Tommy D, is away. And you just missed the first half hour, which talked about my guest, Carlos, and I, my colleague, just chopping it up about his perspective on sinners. And now I'm just going into my little diatribe that I always try to go into. You know, I would try to. I'm a Scorpio, so, you know, it's a little deep. But what I also try to do is try to make people know that it's real over here. You know what I'm saying? And there's so many things at play, so many things happening, so many things just feel like it's colliding all the time, all at once. It's wild. And in the midst of all that is you sitting there trying to hold on or let go. Yeah. Trying to figure it out, trying to help. Trying to be out, trying to stay out the way, you know, trying not to become a burden, trying to be helpful. And I also want to do a quick moment of silence. Boy, when it rains, it pours. So I'm not going to say the person's name because I haven't asked permission to mention the passing of this young woman who's a mother, who's lived in this community before, who lives down south. And recently she passed away, and she leaves behind children, loved ones, parents. It's hard, you know. Let's give a moment of silence. Yeah. The family, I'm pretty sure, is feeling it really hard. You know, cancer is something. But, you know, there's a funny thing about it, because the Quran says when cancer takes a hold of you, it is actually burning, getting rid of all the sin so that you can become pure. And I know that some people, they don't want to hear that because, you know, cancer took a loved one. You ain't trying to hear it. And I respect it. I hear you. And all that. But isn't it a beautiful thought that even though they left suffering, where they're headed to, they ain't got no more sin on them. They've burned it all off. The cancer's burnt it all off. I don't know. I'm not saying I want to get cancer to end up, you know, in heaven. But, you know, like, I ain't trying to go to hell either. But I ain't trying to get cancer. I don't know. I guess I got to start doing right. So I'm at the top of the hour now. I got to get out of here, but I do want to tell you guys that I appreciate you for tuning in. I'll be back next week. And until then, stay blessed, stay alert, stay woke. get into good trouble. Appreciate yourself. Show love to yourself. Because if you don't love you, who else gonna love you? Don't nobody want to love somebody that don't want to love them themselves. That's not sexy. And follow my Instagram, man. Tommy and I's Instagram. Thursday WGXC's on Instagram.